actually.
Okay, well.
Did I not make enough copies?
We'll call the meeting to order.
Oh, here.
Jim Gordon was absent, and Tracy Bartels is absent. So the first order of business is the minutes. Are people prepared to adopt? We can adopt them as one whole group. Excuse me. I personally did not look at the 7th yet, but I'm comfortable that if we see anything, we can change it later. The other four, I'm absolutely ready to adopt. I've reviewed them.
And I have to say, the idea that, like, oh, the audio is available to the public, that really doesn't work for me. That means people have to spend an entire 2 hours right. to see what we're talking about. I feel like we need to adopt these minutes.
Yeah.
I did have concerns about that April.
But that's
not even that's not even in this packet.
Right.
So I'm ready to move.
I mean, if somebody spots a correction, we can always backtrack and re-adopt them with a correction.
So I'll move the entire package, all right. five.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. I do have a comment. I think it was May 17th. It said Laura Petit was, I don't know if it was recommending or had something about not putting in minority. I'd like that whole sentence struck.
Which one?
May 17th.
Okay.
I accept that
on the
friendly.
First
yeah.
page.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to put it in here?
Because I know there was discussion about minority, but I
it's right here.
It's here. If you
want to
put it in
it
here,
it
then I'll change it.
And then
okay.
I accept that friendly.
Okay. Okay. So I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstain? Okay. So once Laura makes that change, we'll pass them around. Just please make sure before we leave today you've signed each of those. So Liz can get them done. I'd like to go out of order if that's okay. Mark, two things I wanted to present today for sure is I talked about this last meeting, but I didn't have a printed copy. I now have printed copies that Liz made for us. And then March has a new timeline. Does anybody have a preference which order we go in? The membership is pretty straightforward. I put it down on paper, figuring terms of office and all
wow.
that. So if we could probably knock this out in 15 minutes. So let me walk you through the thing. Let's start with the bottom part. So this is what I remember we agreed on. There would be 9 members, 5 appointed by the legislature, 3 by the executive, 1 by the supervisors. Per Comptroller Gallagher, and I think we all agreed, the 5 current appointees would remain. They would finish their terms, so as their terms expire, and I wrote this all up as if it would take place January 1 of next year. We all know that that may not be reality, but you got to put it on paper somehow. This was my suggestion as to how the legislature would appoint, and certainly we should discuss it. Instead of saying appointed by the chair, what I'm proposing is that they're appointed by the environmental, I should have said energy and environmental committee.
That's packet set.
Confirmed by majority legislature vote. This was the part that we said at no time, no more than 2 of the 5 appointed members can be an elected official. I added this as just as a concern that Tracy had brought up, or an employee of Ulster County government whose position is appointed by the county legislature or legislature chair. And then we also talked about the municipality. I know currently there is a facility. There are actually 2 municipalities that have facilities, Town of Ulster and Town of New Paltz. So I added, at all times, 1 appointed member of those 5 must reside in a municipality where the a UCRA facility is located. If there ends up being a landfill somewhere, then there would be 3 communities.
Okay, but where is that language?
That's in the
right
in the bottom part under the
okay, thank you.
That,
my
so it's at the bottom of legislature.
Oh.
Yeah.
My only concern is it's an or, but I wouldn't want to see three of the legislative appointments have to be at UCR facilities, because those two facilities are likely to continue to operate into the future.
No. The or is the at all times. That's a separate bullet point. The or is it can, so the third and fourth line work together.
Oh, okay.
The fifth line is a separate line.
So.
Then that.
But let me. If
okay, it's
yeah.
one appointment from the
new
three.
So one of the okay. five appointees must reside in either at this point either town of Ulster or town of New Paltz.
So really, basically, we're targeting the host community town, but it could be any of the facilities.
Right,
okay.
And it doesn't have to be an elected official. It has to be somebody who lives in that community.
Yes. Okay.
That's sort of a mid-level thing. They can certainly report back to the community. But let me finish the rest of this, and then if we can.
Yep.
So then the executive would have the three appointees. We talked about at any one time, no more than one appointed member can be an elected official, being that it, or an employee of Ulster County government whose position is appointed by the county executive.
So that language is not sufficient. You're basically saying...
Okay, we'll need to tweak the language.
Okay.
But this is to address Tracy's point of she didn't want three people that are department heads.
Yeah.
Obviously, this was just a first shot at the language. I've also figured we're making a recommendation. The attorney... And from the legislature will resolve what the language, we can send our intent, and then they can figure the language. And then the last would be the appointment from the Ulster County Association of Town Supervisors and Mayors. Now, confirmation, we hadn't really talked about confirmation other than the legislature. I know a number of the examples we looked at, some were no confirmation, just direct appointees. Some required confirmation by the legislature. I put none with a question mark. That's to be discussed. The term limits, we hadn't discussed that at all, but a number of the examples had 2-3-year full terms. So like if you're appointed as a replacement, that doesn't count as one full term. It's 2 full 3-year terms. Many of the examples had that you would have to be off for then 2 consecutive terms, and then you could be reappointed. So essentially, it read to me that you could have 6 years on, 6 years off. And then vacancies, I just thought we should address it, that if there's a vacancy, the appointing, whichever body is appointing, fills the vacancy. The terms, I laid it out so 3 people come off every year of a 9-person board for a 3-year term. So currently, there's 2 members of the current body that are done at the end of this year. So the X is the where they would go come off. So those 2 seats would be open and the 3 current would continue and then they would end at 2025 and the 5th member would end at 2026. So this is set up with a 3-year cycle. The county executive being 3 appointees, I just, for the initial appointment, I split it as a 1-year, a 2-year, a 3-year to get. So every year, one of the county executive appointments is up, 1 or 2 of the county legislature appointments is up, and the UCATSM is, you got to fit it in there somewhere, so that sort of, I made that the first one a 2-year and then 3-year from that point on. So that's just a starting proposal based on our language. So, yeah, Tracy.
I mean, I think as a starting proposal, so it's great. It gives us a lot to work off of and discuss, and it does capture most of what we talked about. I know a lot of people had hand shops, so I just want to talk about, like, the first thing that jumps out at me is this current board members finish 3-year terms. I don't think that's doable in terms of a prescription. I don't think the legislature would be able to write legislation that keeps individual people, because it's at the state level. I think we can make a suggestion that we believe the current board.
Actually, I have an answer to that.
Retain. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because I saw an example in one of the other ones where they increased the membership,
mm-hmm.
and this is exactly how they did it. The new appointments.
But we're not increasing the membership. We're changing the whole structure. We're asking for state legislation that's going to change the structure. So I can't imagine that there's going to be state legislation that's going to say keep Jim Gordon.
No. But keep that position.
As a legislative appointed position.
It would be a legislative appointed position, and the legislature would have to appoint Jim Gordon into a slot.
Well,
I'm just using him as an example. I don't.
But when you're saying it's changing the structure, what else is changing except the number of members?
Who's appointing, how they're appointing them.
Well, the legislature is currently appointing five and would continue appointing five.
I think we need to check if that's when their terms expire.
It is. I did double check that.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't put names in.
Why don't we ask legislative council?
I think we need to ask legislative council. Because not only that, with your question of what are we changing, we're changing that we're allowing elected officials. We're changing a lot.
Yeah.
And state legislation, I think, is going to have to be simple.
Okay.
I think it's worthy to suggest. I mean, when I left as chair, one of my closing acts,
right.
which people don't actually even know, was to send a letter encouraging that the legislature
right.
keep Regis
right.
in his seat for reasons mentioned, and because I was hearing
mm-hmm,
so much
mm-hmm,
feedback
mm-hmm.
from the agency. So,
well, his term was up; he was reappointed.
Right, but
yeah,
I was
yeah.
suggesting that they actually do that
right.
the next legislature
yeah,
do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I think that we can do something like that, suggest that in the five spots that we hold in high regard,
mm-hmm.
the current board, and we suggest that board
right.
be allowed to continue.
Because what I read from the other group, what they did, it was I forgot what triggered it, but they, and I don't remember which one it was, but there was an example where they significantly changed the membership of the board, controlling board, but the existing people continued on. They weren't reappointed. They just added, because what we would do is we would just be adding four new positions to the current five with this proposal. And the existing body would continue, and it's the only thing that would change. They would continue with their 3-year appointment period as appointed, and the only thing that would change would be the bottom. I hear what you're saying. I think council can resolve whether.
Should, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can think of the example that you found, because
I will. I'll go back
and
find it.
Issues about that is whether
yeah.
or not they
yeah.
changed it through enabling legislation.
Right.
If it's in the Board Authorities Act, then it was. I mean, if it's...
It is in the state. It's in this... I just have to find which example it was.
Okay.
There was one where they increased the membership. Yeah. But we can check with council. But in terms of... To clarify, though, in terms of the concept of keeping the five people, you don't have any issue with that? Or do you?
I have an issue with prescribing it. I think that the... I think telling the limiting the legislature.
We're making a recommendation. We're not telling
them
anything.
No, but you're suggesting
yeah.
that we prescribe it, that we say that they're going to retain. And I think telling the legislature that they have to retain the five and expanding the board for the other appointing authorities is problematic. I think the legislature should have the authority to, as you know, to appoint the five. And if not, then appoint who they're going to appoint.
Yeah.
So I agree, but I think since everything we're doing is advisory anyway, we're
right.
not prescribing, and the legislature would have to adopt legislation that's home rule legislation to
mm-hmm.
Albany, so I think there's a lot of opportunity.
Right.
I think we just couch it as strong recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
I am concerned about both of the paragraphs that have or. By the way, I think this is a great job, Mike.
And I freely admit I didn't know how to word it. This
yeah.
was the first
so
shot.
To me, these are not ors. I thought that we discussed we do not want to see employees
mm-hmm.
of the legislature or the executive be the appointments. I didn't think it was an or.
Okay.
I thought it was a bar. But maybe we have a different understanding here.
I may have misunderstood because I thought what I heard, and I was pulling from memory,
yeah.
was that we didn't want more than two from the legislature and one from the executive.
To be electeds.
Well, no, what I heard was electeds or
gotcha.
Because I remember an example that was brought up of a committee, and I don't remember which committee, that it was full of department heads.
You see the board.
You see
the. And it ran a lot better then. So.
Yeah. So, well, just, I mean, I don't have a great connection. I tried to capture what I thought we said.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I'm happy to say, go back to the other way. I think, though, if you don't include that or you can't, you, what you could do is, from the executive, is you could get one elected official and then two department heads.
Well, you could bar it, like Marge said. You could you could prohibit it from being, and rather than it being or, it would, you would put language that
can
prohibits
I speak?
It.
Well, that's why I say no more than, so that...
Can I speak to why I don't think it's a good idea to have the employees there? I think... If we look down the road and we see ourselves with this organization trying to site a landfill, I think it puts both the legislature and the executive, and particularly the executive, in a very challenging position where they are going to be perceived as having direct control over those employees who are on that board. And it really does not make it an independent entity for those three votes. And it is going to create a situation where there is a tremendous volume of probably opposition coming to the executive and the legislature to influence those direct reports.
Fair
and
enough.
I just don't think it's a healthy way to create independence of the organization.
Okay. Is that the general consensus? Because what we could say is we could just say at any time no more than two of the five appointees may be an elected official, and for the executive no more than one appointee may be an elected official. We cross out the other part, and we just say, for all of them, no appointed member on the board may be an employee of Ulster County Government whose position is appointed by the county.
And maybe the mayors and supervisors. I mean, do we really want, like, the appointment from the mayors and supervisors to be, you know, an employee of the mayor? I mean, that
fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. We say they can't be an employee of any of the appointing agencies.
Yeah.
Of,
yes.
any municipality.
Yeah.
Municipality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what I don't want to do is limit it to. I'm sorry, Matt. I don't want to limit it to that. Let's just for an example. You know, somebody who works as a secretary somewhere who has an interest and wants to be on this board just because they work for the county. I don't know. I mean, it's.
I don't think
so
they should be appointed. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
Think so.
I have a. Point of order, but just to that point that's on the table right now, I think for the supervisors, it should be one of the supervisors.
Well, we should let the body pick. It likely will be, but if they have a highway, let's just see, I'm going to use a real-world example. If there's a highway superintendent who runs a municipal transfer station or something, or who has a really big power of knowledge, but remember, it's appointed by a body of 24 people.
Okay.
You know, you kind of want to let them pick who they want within reason.
My point of order is that Jim Gordon isn't here, and he has served on the board. And I think that we can do
just
a little more, but
let's
revisit this when Jim is here, because he really has.
I just wanted to introduce
insight.
It to sort of move it.
I think he's as concerned as anybody that we not put someone in an awkward position where they have to answer to someone and serve capably on the board.
Can we all agree then that I'll cross out the oars from this?
I would just, for the record, as the comptroller stated, that, you know, the functioning of UCEDA wasn't altogether awful when there were staff people on it, the county executive staff on it, just remembering that there are folks with particular expertise around issues who could be valuable. And in some ways, I know there's seemingly a taboo now of the employees, but, you know, you do have other boards where their legislators sit on it and they vote on the same actions from both sides. So,
yeah, okay. I mean, I think to my own, when I was appointed officials by municipalities too, like when I was planning board chair, I sat on many county committees, and there were some I was barred from because I was a public officer. But I still participated and was a valuable participant, and I wasn't bringing an agenda. I mean, this is a personal example, but it's possible. Let me get Tracy though. Sorry.
Your example with the a highway superintendent who runs a transfer station. I just want to get back to something that Mark brought up before, and this would also apply for the supervisors, and I'm just being a devil's advocate for a moment, but I think we do have to consider the potential conflict that would arise. I realize it's one vote, but with someone who has a contract with the agency, a supervisor, I'm assuming supervisors sign the contracts with the agency, right? So supervisors have contracts with the agency.
But there's recusal ability, you know.
I'm just being devil's advocate for a moment. Yeah. And the idea of someone running a transfer station, again, it's balanced by it's just one appointment, and it's who the supervisors want to send and who's reporting back to the supervisors. But I think we do just have to think about conflict and potential conflict, et cetera.
Yeah, that was going to be my point. Legislators approve contracts too, so I mean, I feel strongly that
legislators don't approve. I mean, the idea of approving
they vote on a resolution,
but it's different when I'm talking about their sign in terms of who's signing the contract.
But the supervisor, can't sign the contract
without
the board. There has to be a resolution, just like the. And I don't know who signs the. I'm guessing it's the chair of the legislature.
Right.
But the chair of the legislature is one member of 23, and they can't sign it unless they're authorized by the board. The same with the supervisor. When I was supervisor, I was not empowered to sign a single contract without a resolution of the board authorizing me to sign the contract.
Okay.
So you're still...
State law allows a sitting member of a legislative body to vote on a contract for an entity that they serve on the board of, so long as they do not have a financial interest.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they have a fiduciary responsibility to that entity on the financial side. That's different.
Yeah.
If they are a paid employee, that's a different thing.
Still think, though, it's really important to get the municipality's voice heard on that.
Oh,
body.
I do too.
Yeah.
A paid employee,
would that matter for the paid employee
that's the head of DPW that's running a transfer station
it
paid
could,
by?
Because
their fiduciary
right.
interest is to
okay.
the town.
It could. I think it's
yeah.
something that we might want to ask.
Well, it would also depend, you know, who gets appointed. Certainly they're going to be vetted by the council, and if there's a conflict that the law doesn't allow them to be a member,
they would refuse. There
but
is
we
a
should
solution.
Find out if
yeah,
there
yeah.
is, because that person, if they're being paid by the town, that person does have a fiduciary
and the supervisor
interest.
Too.
Yeah.
Well,
but
supervisor
I,
is, an elected official is different. I think elected officials fall under different conflicts, to your point that
right.
you just said. It's like,
right.
it's not, it, there. Yeah, it's definitely, it's different than an employee.
Yeah,
so
but I also
I
think that,
think
you know, as
it.
Mark said before, we're making a recommendation. It, for us to try to think of every possible scenario that might be a problem, at some point we have to say, you know, it's a unique situation. Mark had his hand up before, so may I get Mark first, and then I'll, yeah.
I just kind of want to bring up what Amanda talked about. I mean, like, I think there'd be expertise in, like, the director of planning or the director, or it is director of the environment now, like, certain positions. Like, I think saying that none of the three can be county employees.
Could they be ex officio members?
Unless,
I'll throw that out as a. As
unless
a,
in the contract there's, like, going to be support for the agency to use county departments. But I think that there's, like, certain expertise that could be extremely valuable in help siting a landfill and other things. So, like, a complete bar. I'm not sure.
Could that be done as an ex officio member?
Ex officio doesn't mean that you don't vote. It just means by virtue of your office. I mean, we are.
It doesn't mean you don't vote.
No, we're always confusing that. I mean, we
say
colloquially
non-voting.
In our
yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then
to take it that point further, could it be listed as a non-voting ex officio member?
I mean,
I think
you
could
do
that.
Then you'd have to. my fast answer would be yes, but you'd have to then say the director of planning. Like, you'd have to buy the
title and say
that person has an ex officio non-voting seat.
Right.
Would that be one of the nine?
Right.
No, I would think that would be above the nine.
Right.
Because they're not voting. So, I'm sorry, we do, yeah. Let me get Manna and then, yes.
Yeah, I just want to remind us that right now we have five board members that are from the community, and they are screened to at least potentially have the best knowledge and experience. And now what we're trying to do is make sure that the major sectors have a voice. But it seems to me, for example, that if it's from the Town Supervisors Association, it should be representing the town supervisors.
It will be, but
and so the way I look at it is the legislature still gets five appointments, and I think it's very important for continuity to let those who are currently serving not necessarily phase out, but come up for reappointment.
Correct, and that's how I set this up. Okay. And bear in mind too that with the five appointees, no more than two of the appointed members can be elected officials. So it's the legislature's choice if they want to put a legislator or some other elected official on it. And that's why I said elected official, not county legislator, because they may want to appoint somebody else that is some other elected official. But by doing it the way we did it, at any one given time, you would never have maximum four elected officials of the nine at any time, because it would be two from the legislature, no more than one from the executive, and there's an assumption that the appointee by the with only one person, there was no point of saying maybe an elected official. It can be whoever they want to appoint. It could be an elected official. It could not be an elected official. So at this way, with this committee, you would never have a majority of elected officials. So, yeah, can I get the other points since people? Yeah, so March, you had.
So, I'm willing to defer. We have two, people who've served as deputy county executives, the former chair of the legislature. If people feel like it's fine to have staff be on there, then fine. We'll deal with that when the time comes. We're going to assumingly elect people to these bodies that have the grace and disposition and knowledge to make the correct appointments, right? I'm just raising the concern that it's going to become a very heated and controversial set of topics that's going to get thrown back. But if people feel like the keeping the or language, so it's not, majority staffed by elected and elected representatives, I think is what we're saying, then
correct.
I'm okay with that. I wanted to raise the concern that, you're going to see a tremendous amount of pressure on these people.
Okay. Amanda, did you have something else you want to add? And then I'll go to Tracy.
That.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tracy?
Yeah, I have to really think it through. I tend to agree with your initial concern, especially given the really significant undertaking that's going to happen here. And even with this amount of elected officials, it gives me, four elected officials, three from county government,
we could go back to one on the legislature. We increased it to two because that was what came out of the last discussion.
I hear you. Yeah. I think this is a reflection of the discussion, but it just does give me a bit of a pause. But I definitely think it has to be either a bar or the or. Anything short of the or, an open season could end up being everyone.
Right.
It could be fully, it could be whatever.
Yeah.
Eight people who.
Oh, yeah. No, I would not, personally would not support that. The only way I would support is the or. I'm like Comptroller Gallagher. I could go either way. I put this in because I thought that's what I had heard, and it obviously sparked a conversation here, so. We can leave it alone for now.
Can I also just raise one other hypothetical?
Sure, sure.
You know, that when you leave, there's another option to think about. And again, it's the first time I'm thinking about it, so I'm just throwing it out. I'm not sure even what I think about it. But leaving the employee of Ulster County government, the or in a legislative section, you could have the legislature appointing two staff of the executive, you know, two appointees of the executive. You could have the legislature appointing the head of planning.
Well, we could just end it at or an employee of Ulster County government and take the rest of that sentence out. So then they could never appoint more than, you know.
Right.
That would be a way to handle that. And I carried it out because that's what I thought I had heard. But, you know, that's
certainly
an option.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine where an appointment of
There are legislative appointments made by the chair and by the body.
An employee who's there's the clerk.
That's true. The staff, you're right. They don't. I'm thinking legislative staff, but yeah,
and council.
I think that's all they do. You're right.
That would be super interesting.
Yeah. Based on what you said,
that might be a good idea. But
maybe we just end it at or an employee of Ulster County government.
Well, actually, thinking of legislative council could be the smartest thing, but.
Could you? It sounds like a good idea.
Could you repeat it? No, it just came up that we could appoint legislative counsel to serve on the RRA board.
It just popped into Tracy's head while she was sort of brainstorming.
We do have agents.
It didn't pop into my head. It popped into my head.
No, I said who the
legislature appoints. What employees the legislature appoints. Directly. I mean, legislature confirms.
So the discussion matter was to end it as or an employee of Ulster County government, because we were questioning who the legislature or the chair actually appoints, and it's really only, as Tracy points out, the clerk and the council. They don't really appoint anybody else. So
in terms of employees.
Yeah.
And just for, you know, excruciating clarity, well, for discussion, I would suggest a colon after may be.
Okay.
And in both lines, for both ledge and executive, so that your or statement is clearly set off.
Yeah, you're right. You're
and
right.
Then,
yeah, this was just in the effort to try to fit it on one page.
Then,
Yeah.
And then on the top, instead of using NA for the beginning of the term for the exec, I would, since you have a key at the top here where an X equals the term year end.
Mm-hmm. The NA is because they don't exist currently.
Yeah, right. So I would actually key it, go for tic-tac-toe, make it a zero and say new appointments. And then instead of NA, because it does apply.
Well, the chart is not based on appointments. The chart is when the term ends. But point taken. We can finesse how to word it.
Yeah, just, again, just...
Point taken.
That's what NA means, new appointment.
Not
except they,
So I would just do that also, just again, because this is very...
This was just to show, because... The new law would take effect as of 1/1/25 in this theory.
So it's actually like...
So the 12/31/24 is just showing that the two existing go away.
What you could do is then, you know, have a zero there, and it's a new appointment as of 1/1/25.
Yep.
You know, because it...
Okay.
It just needs to
Point taken.
Finish serving up all the information.
Can I make one other point that I'm just going to throw out to add to the mix of this confusion?
Yeah.
And that is having appointments end on December 31st of a year has proved to be very challenging, because I understand the logic of ending it with terms, but the matter of fact is you have legislatures, out of respect, that don't want to make the next appointment because their term is ending. So they don't, you know, so we don't want to quick look like we're trying to, you know, take another legislature's authority.
But bear in mind, the law states that you serve until replaced, so every one of those people that expires on 12/31/24 continues.
But that's still a problem because they're cutting into the next term. The term
agreed.
They're cutting into the next term, and so it may be that we want to suggest sort of an offset, like an April start for everything. Or
I think we're really, I mean, I agree with that, and I've always had the same issue with any legislative appointment because they almost always end at the end of the year, but then the legislature doesn't usually meet in January.
It's been an issue of respect. I left office and Laura left office, we could have made appointments, and we could have made tons of appointments in November.
We could use this opportunity to fix that and say April 1st. I'm just throwing out a...
That's what I just said.
And say that everybody else, the existing, continue until that point.
That's what I said, April. I think it just makes... It's an opportunity to fix
again,
something
Jim. I'd really like Jim's.
Yeah.
I don't happen to agree because we just had a very big turnover in the legislature, and they're still figuring out what they're doing. I've been there 9 years, and I'm still figuring out what I'm doing. But
Well, the 12/31 is problematic from a functional standpoint, though, because the legislature turns over, in theory,
and the new legislature needs to, you know, get their sea legs, and to have them do an appointment so quickly, you know,
there's a whole host of problems.
Anna, what happens right now is that rather than an April time for a new legislature, they have a January 1 time where they have to be, where they technically need to be making appointments before they even sit down. Technically, the new leg has to be making appointments.
Yeah. Okay, they're not made in December before people leave.
No, because typically we choose not to. We're a lame duck legislature, so we choose not to put an onus that could last 3 years. In other examples, it could last 5 years. You could make an appointment and say, well, on my way out, I'm just going to leave you with 70 appointments.
Except,
you know
the year thing is because the legislature is a two-year term and these are three-year terms. There's always, you know, there's always going to be some time. But there's other times when there is no change. So... by changing to, you know, that middle year when the legislature isn't changing, but there's still three new board members. But I wouldn't disagree with making the term start April 1.
It then also means the term
we should
is
ask Mark how that impacts him, his board.
Starting in January and ending at the end of the year. So it wouldn't be... 2024, are they still three-year terms?
Yeah, everything would just bump to April.
Everything
and
would bump to
March.
April.
It would just, and functionally we're doing that anyway. Functionally, we don't appoint, and we allow it to sit, and the next person who, if it's changed, the next person who fills the seat has a shorter term.
The only people it would change at first implementation is the two people that are right now ending on 12/31, by the law would be extended till 3/31. But if new appointees on the board didn't come in until April, Mark,
I think it's fine.
What is that doesn't affect your yearly process?
I don't.
Okay.
No.
That would be my concern is if you suddenly got...
One of the last things they do now is like the budget for the next year. They don't need to do that. And they don't get a new budget until August, so they get a little bit of time. Yeah.
So that doesn't impact you. There's nothing going on in April, May that a brand new board member wouldn't be up to speed on.
Not any different than January, February. Can I pivot really quick to one other point?
Yeah.
Just on term limits. I mean, I don't know what people feel, but volunteers are so hard to come by. And so term limits to non-paid volunteer positions... It seems, I mean, I think in here you have term limits in your suggestion, right?
Only with a question mark, only because other boards have it, so I wanted to have the discussion.
Gotcha.
If the feeling is we shouldn't have them, I have no problem crossing. I don't have a great connection one way or the other, personally. How do other people feel?
Make it three terms. Mm-hmm.
Three?
That way you get
9 years?
You know what I mean? To me, that's a healthy stability.
Yeah, with 2 years away or something like that, is that what you're saying? Or nine, period?
I don't know, but like to be able to serve a continuity of 9 years would be really healthy
it
for
is.
The organization.
That's fair.
I want to go back to the January start date and the conversation we had.
Wait, wait, there's two conversations happening.
She was just asking me a question. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
No, Laura was just asking.
I'm sorry, man.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. The conversation we had last week about the budget, it just still seems to me that people need to start in January and get a feel for the organization rather than being appointed in March and starting in April. They're not going to have a sense of how the organization runs or what the operational or capital issues are.
Yeah, Tracy?
I mean, I would say that functionally, other than the times when the appointments happened in the middle of a legislative term, but even then, I bet if you looked back statistically, you'd be hard-pressed to find an appointment in January. I don't think it exists. I don't think we've ever done it on time. And sometimes we've been 6, 9, 10, 12 months off because we're getting up to speed, we're arguing, we're whatever, and people...
Well, that's why I think they should be made in December for people to start in January.
But there would be such pushback, I think, incredible pushback. Imagine in a year that like last, like where so many legislators are leaving, and as an outgoing action, you make substantial impactful appointments, outgoing legislators. I think there would be incredible pushback from the body, the incoming body, from the public.
It's also a with Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it's also when the legislature is approving the budget.
I don't think that's
year.
The hurdle. I think the hurdle.
Well, I'm just talking about
really
in terms
of
all that's going on within the legislature. There's a lot going on in November, December. So to try to add in a major appointment at the same time could be problematic. I agree with you, Tracy. I look back. Regis was in March. Jim Gordon's was in April. A number of other appointees are always March or April.
There's only two appointments at any one time in any one year, so it's not like the legislature could stack the entire board. And I think if this is an area where we don't have full agreement, we just note it in our report and say, you know, there are differing views, because this is going to go through such heavy legislative discussion on this point.
Yeah.
And really, it's going to be the body that decides,
right?
Sure.
We're making
recommendations. But I think it's interesting. We have two longstanding legislators who disagree on this point, and, like, we have to kick it upstairs.
What does Laura think?
I think exactly what March said. My concern is we're 7 months in. We were created to take a look at the upcoming contract, and we are debating a resolution as if we were a county committee. And I already know, I would make changes. And I think that we're really putting an awful lot of time into this. This should be a recommendation that it increases in size and leave it at that. Because we spent almost the whole last meeting discussing this as well.
Yeah, I think, so my opinion is just saying recommending changing it to size.
Yeah.
You know, we have met for 7 months and we've really studied it, so offering a recommendation of how is not, to me, an issue. But I think the minutia, I feel like there's a middle point. I feel like we're now starting to stray into the minutia of possibility of scenarios, and they're all important to consider. I'm not dismissing any of them, but I think we're getting to the level that is legislative, and the legislators are going to debate that, and the committees are going to debate that, and you know, we can make the best recommendation we can make. I'm not trying to say this is perfect, but I think we need to just look at it as an overview and say, here's our recommendation. Take it from there. I mean, so what I took out of this is I've changed the full three-year maximum term limit to three. Do we want to include a recommendation of what many of the others had, is that you must then, you know, how many terms off you can be before you can serve again. Some have one 3-year term, some have 2 3-year terms. Or we just leave it silent and we let them figure it out.
The The suggestion was three-year terms.
Right.
Yeah.
But to then be considered again, so after nine, after three-year terms, they would have to step down. But the question is, when can they be considered again for future membership?
If we're silent, it's one term, correct?
No, if we're silent, there's nothing.
Okay. It just means you have to step down. It doesn't mean that a year later.
Gotcha.
No. If you say three-year terms, that's it.
It's like it's a credit. That's
okay.
All you can serve.
Okay.
You don't like, say.
So you can't ever be reappointed.
Correct.
See, I have a problem with that. I mean, I think somebody, if somebody was really knowledgeable, who I think the reason for term limits is to keep new ideas, keep it fresh. But if you have somebody who's serving and 5 years, 6 years down the road, they say, gee, I'd like to come back. I mean,
I think we put 3 years off as a indicator that we think there should not be
right. That's where I was headed. Is I think we shouldn't be silent.
Leave it there to Laura's point and move on instead of.
Okay.
I just do want to make the note that we've all sort of acknowledged that it could take 10 years to site a landfill, so we are potentially asking for the very people who make the most difficult decisions to cycle off the board as they're seeing it through. Mm-hmm. In this particular moment in time. So that's just the one hesitation that I would have. I think in general term limits are a good thing, but that's my one hesitation.
Do you want to make it four?
Don't you have term limits by having appointments? These are not elected.
No,
I mean,
right.
Elected
no,
officials
have
no,
sometimes
have
be elected over and over again.
Yeah.
You have appointments. So there are people appointing the board members. If the legislature decides that 9 years is enough, they just don't reappoint that person.
Correct,
but sometimes it's hard.
The person sitting always gets a leg up. Can I ask, just so I know we want to say we move on, but for clarification, so are we ending it as or any employee of Ulster County government, period, and taking the other part out?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to be sure I'm on the same page.
And we're saying at least,
Three. Now, we didn't talk about the confirmation. Can we briefly talk about that? Should these be just direct appointments, or should these all be confirmed by the legislature? I think they should be direct appointments.
I think they should be confirmed by the legislature.
Mm-hmm. That should be direct appointments.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here representing the legislature, and I have a sense of how, what the...
Yeah, I still feel that gives the legislature control over it.
I agree.
So I think they should be, the five from the legislature come from the legislature, mm-hmm. the three from the executive come from the executive, the one from the supervisors comes from the supervisors. That's who's on the committee. The legislature then doesn't get another go-round to say yes or no on the other four. That's my feeling.
Right now the legislature has, does all the appointing.
Agreed.
And I think that the confirmation should stay in place. And when Jim's here, maybe we should vote on that.
Okay. Let's do that because I disagree, and I think other people do. But we'll just hold that until Jim comes back. So, okay. So March. Then moving on to the timeline. Do you want
to? All right. So I tried to at the bottom of the sheet create a proposed budget schedule. It's right there, Manit. It looks like this. I'm not wedded to this. I tried to just firm up my notes from our last conversation, and I'd like to get feedback on whether this is workable. And in particular, as you can see, as we got to the end, I had a bunch of question marks in the dates. But here's what it is right now. As of 8/1, August 1st, the UCRRA board would, would present an estimated NEST service fee estimate for the upcoming budget to the county executive, the legislative chair, the chair of Ways and Means, and the chair of Energy. That way all the committees of jurisdiction would have it. They would not have a meeting on it. It would literally be like a formal submission on paper. 8/15, the UCRA board would adopt their preliminary budget And they would present, and this is a ish date, meaning like if they meet on the 16th, if they, you know, I don't know, you know, we have to talk about whether or not it needs to be by that date or whether it's that week or something, but they would then immediately present their draft budget in a paper submission form or electronic or whatever, again, to the county executive, legislative chair, chair of Ways and Means, chair of Energy, at a joint meeting of Ways and Means and Energy and Environment between the dates of the formal submission of the budget and 8:30, that there would be a joint meeting to consider the draft budget. Then that committee would make recommendations. Right now, we have the legislature able to make proposed revisions to the UCRA budget in the contract. It says they can return a set of recommendations that changes the budget, that would potentially change the budget. And then, so a potential changes would be offered by the joint committee. It would then go back to the UCRA board. They consider, and this is the way it works right now. It's supposed to work right now. The UCRA board then reviews the potential changes from the legislature and votes up or down on those changes, yes or no. And then the legislature would adopt in their September formal meeting. So this is on a very compressed timeline. The UCRA revised budget. Now, the complication here is, and this really is a is an executive budgeting issue, is that the executive budget is going to be impacted by this net service fee, and they would not get it until September 20th. But they would know what the draft number is, and they would know what the legislative recommendation is on that number as early as August 30th. So this is why I said I really feel like Ken Juris kind of needs to be at the table as budget director to talk about this. You know, right now what we're doing is we're throwing all this out the window. We are saying legislature does nothing with it. We don't have them making recommendations. It doesn't go back to the UCRA board. You're not getting that input right now from the legislature on, gee, we think you should change these things. We're not proposing a net service fee in advance, you know, 8 months in advance of a budget cycle, of a new budget. So, you know, it's a lot of changes, and, you know, I just, it's a compressed time frame for the executive.
Yeah, so to weigh in on that, and I hear you saying that the budget director should be involved in that discussion. For us to bring all these people into our committee gets difficult. Can we, in our recommendation, can we just sort of put a caveat, the budget director should be consulted to review this? I mean, it's getting to be where we're not, if we are going to consider all these things, it's kind of what Laura was saying, we're starting to become the legislative.
But we're going to create something that's literally unworkable at the face. I feel like this is so central to the idea that everyone at this table has, which is, since we want to completely, you know, revise our solid waste management system to do diversion in a significant way and probably do, you know, some sort of landfilling that makes sense.
Is that a discussion, though, that could just be had offline and bring an answer back? I'm just thinking
of... Isn't it easy to get him here?
Not
right at this minute, but...
I don't mean right now.
I can tell you what he's going to say. This doesn't work.
Right. but can you sort of prepare him with it and say what does work?
He's going to say, get it to me by June.
But that's the thing, is right now, like, we are fundamentally changing how the net service fee works in a way that I'm not sure, as an agency, I fully feel comfortable. Right now, it's a look back, and if the budget director should be basing budgets for next year based on historical data. So I understand now they're not adding in a net service fee. In the past, I'm sure they were looking at the 1 point, whatever it was, and putting it in, because that, again, the net service fee was a look back, and it was a number given to the county, and the county had to pay it. So we are giving an estimate. And right now that look back was due on September 1st, not August 1st. We're giving an extra month for our just estimate of what it might be the next year to put in the budget. Like, I'm not sure why it wouldn't work by August.
Okay.
It's an estimate.
Are we sure it has to be or should be a net service fee?
I'm not. I mean, because we're completely changing it.
Because the net service fee has such a, you know, it is attached to
basically subsidizing what would be the tipping fee, right?
Right.
You know, if we're really talking about different types of diversion programs, should they be dealt with separately?
And we talked about this, whether there should be external contracts for services. I feel like this contract has, we have had some contracts offline between the county and the agency, but the this major contract has really worked quite well. And if we can anticipate the needs of both parties and wrap it in to this larger contract, it's really going to be better off.
But if we're fundamentally not talking about repealing flow control, right. Which we're
not.
Right. Then right. I think like there's a lot of entrenched kind of belief around why that was done and what the benefits are supposed to be to the county and to the budget. So I wonder if it could still be, the path could still be laid in the master contract, but do you really want to call it an ed service?
Right, maybe it's something different.
Because this contract doesn't provide funding to, I mean, I guess right. through the net service fee, which again, I know
yes.
people differs
still.
On.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw something out. It's I'm lobbing at the controller because it is, you know, a finance question. But I mean, should the county, since this is Ulster County Solid Waste, we have to ultimately be the planner if we don't, you know, contract with one. Should it be in the capital plan then? Is part? I don't know if it's part of our wish list, but since we have talked about financing. Since we are looking at siting a landfill, could we have it land there, or should it be budgeted year by year?
Can I answer that question?
Yeah, let me.
Just to say,
yeah,
I think there could be operations costs as well, because if we talk about something like, let's use the Reuse Innovation Center as an example, there will be a capital side, but there's also going to be an operations side. So I don't think you could just limit it to capital. And I have to think very closely about whether or not
you
can include capital for an outside agency like
okay.
that.
Yeah, Tracy.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the biggest issue is the reality check issue. No legislature's ever going to approve a capital project to site a landfill. We could barely, you know, deal with a figment of everyone's imagination in the form of Plattekill. So there is no political will. It's not happening. That's why the agency exists. You know, the idea to me of the net service fee is actually, when you say it's a contract that actually worked pretty well, I mean, the only failure of the contract to me is that the agency failed to site a landfill, because in many ways that idea of a net service fee is agency, small a, to make the hard decisions and bill the county, not strictly as an offset of a tipping fee, like that's how it could be manipulated,
right.
But the reality is it was a way of creatively saying, we want you to do the hard things and we're going to pay for it in this creative way. We're going to do it because we can't cast the votes to make it happen. So I think it's an interesting situation. What I want to point out about this timeline, and again, I appreciate Mark's comment about the look back, the look forward, and I think most of this is academic because I'm going to be optimistic, when the difficult decisions are made and the big costs come in and there is a net service fee again, it's going to be 1 year and then it's going to be irregular. Like, it's going to be 1 year of like, okay, this might be, and then after that, you're going to have a projection of what all the costs are. It's going to be happening. So my two sort of concerns about this timeline are, one, I think it has to provide for a failure of the legislature to respond, which the current one does. This doesn't.
It just goes automatically.
And then the last step, where the legislature adopts the revised or non-revised UCRRA budget, what happens if the legislature fails to do it, and or even worse, says no, we don't agree, like we're not adopting this budget.
Right.
Like, what is the game plan then?
So
because we don't want to have that authority. We don't want the ledge to have that authority over on a ton of.
I actually thought that it shouldn't. This last line shouldn't be here at all. Because actually, what's going to happen is you're by proxy, the legislature is adopting the UCRA budget when they adopt the full budget.
I think that is more correct. Like, I think the legislature has the opportunity to weigh in. Their failure to weigh in is a default affirmative.
Right.
The agency has the opportunity to revise or amend the legislature's request, and then the exec, you know, puts in a budget, an informed budget, and the legislature adopts or fails to adopt the informed budget.
So let's say the legislature adopts a budget that doesn't have the net service fee in it.
Well, then the net service just, it gets levied.
No,
and the legislature has to amend in a budget to pay for it. I mean, it's like the bill comes in.
It'll be,
and the legislature says, whoops, you know, we said no by adopting a different budget, but now we have to make up for $2 million.
Now we have to do a budget amendment or face our constituents on a doubling of tipping fees.
Exactly.
So that's what, that's the point I wanted to address. And Menno, just let me say this and I'll get right back to you. It's difficult as the chair for me to be able to speak because I can't recognize. So the issue is, I would rather see the legislature in sort of control of the net service fee rather than it being pushed into tipping fees, because we know the haulers, if they get a this much of tipping fee, they're going to be raising their prices this much, whereas the legislature, they're just paying the net service fee, and that's kind of the bill of what the agency needs to operate. If it's left to the tipping fee increases, you're just going to exponentially keep. You're going to exponentially keep charging. Why is it the opposite?
Because of all the other costs that go into curbside, into whatever they're doing in the hauling, gas, staffing.
Agreed.
So it's the opposite. It's actually incremental in the total cost that someone would.
Yeah, but they're going to use that as the excuse for doubling their.
That's a different.
Problem. No, but that's the problem I'm trying to bring up, is that when it's left in the hands of the haulers, when the additional money needed is left in the hands of the legislature in the net service or the county in the net service fee, the agency's not going to mark it up. It's, we need $2 million. We're giving you a bill for $2 million. Whereas if they're trying to get that additional $2 million by raising the tipping fees, then the haulers are going to charge $4 million more. I mean, I'm making up numbers. So let me get Manna because she's been waiting. So
I would like to remind us that we talked about separating a portion of the net service fee for operations versus capital, because we are going to be facing some very expensive capital, and already if it's over $500,000, the UCRA has to go.
We're recommending getting rid of that.
I'm not recommending that at all.
Oh, we need to vote on
that.
I feel very strong.
Yeah.
All right. It seems to me that given what Amanda pointed out, and I completely agree with, that tipping fees should reflect operations. And if there's a reason to have part of the net service fee cover operations, there's got to be a good reason. But for capital, it's already built in unless we change it. That I'm trying to get the agency and the legislature to work together rather than putting in measures that will make the agency more autonomous, because the history of the agency, and I think with Mark there, that's going to change, but the history has been pretty, I don't want to use too extreme
volatile.
A word, but it's been difficult.
Volatile.
Difficult. I also think there's a change in the agency. I think there's a dramatic change from 30 years ago, where there was a political agenda to get it then Assemblymember Hinchy, and there was the political power to do so. We were able to prevent an incinerator, but we have a very different and much informed legislature, and that could change over time, but and we're trying to do this for the long run, but I think it's a more reasonable legislature. I think it's people who are really listening and want to see the best for the county. I don't see the kind of political play that certainly existed 30 years ago and has existed, I would say, kind of less and less each session. So, you know, there should be very real connections that the agency should be autonomous to put that on the executive branch. I disagree strongly with Jim for reasons I've already stated, but you know, have it be an autonomous agency that is responsible to the county through the legislature. I hope that some of that will get actually incorporated in the notes, because that, you know, of all the things I say, that to me feels important for the legislature to know that how I was representing them.
Yeah,
it's funny because I feel not as, in some ways, not as emotionally connected to this as I once was, in that I really respectfully disagree that the agency can be autonomous and tied through bonding. I just don't think that that is autonomy. I think it's on its very most basic level not autonomy. And I also feel that the legislature arguably last year had more institutional knowledge than this year, and last year voted on that Plattekill resolution, which was proof positive of the political difficulty in weighing in on a landfill. And I have very little faith that the legislature, any legislature, would affirmatively vote for siting a landfill, or we'd be able to work that through, even a small landfill, through legislative will. And all that being said, while I strongly believe in the autonomy of the agency and would advocate for that, in the absence of it, in the proposal that Nana's suggesting, I would default to Jim's opinion. Like, I would go the absolute other way. If we can't have real autonomy of the agency, it should be a county department. Like, that's where I fall, and that's why I say I've lost my emotion on it, because I just believe that if it's a county department, there will not be a landfill. Like, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen in a meaningful time when we know that the clock is ticking, when, you know, conversations with Amanda, and I'm sure you, Mike, having read the, which I haven't yet, having read the full report of the DEC, really reflects a failure of the state to acknowledge what's happening in this state and the clock that's ticking. I mean, how you issue a report like that and don't recognize the capacity that's about to fall off a cliff, we're done for if we don't actually cite something. And so, you know, I think the only chance we've got is with a truly autonomous agency, which means no tie. I mean, that I was there when that happened. That was under John Parity. It was politically driven, and we got to either put faith in this agency and give them the authority to do what they need to do, or it's a kind of, for me, giving up, because I just don't see how it's going to happen at, you know, strictly being tied to the county.
Yeah. So my perspective is, and I agree with what you're saying, because having read that report and then seeing in the news just a couple days ago that the state assembly session closed, and what happened? The bigger bottle bill didn't go through, and why? When you read the reasons it didn't go through, there was significant lobby against it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the political wherewithal. The fear of raising it from 5 cents to 10 cents is going to impact economically challenged people, and you know what I read is on a 24-pack of now they're going to have to pay an extra $2.40 instead of $1.20, and I'm like, yes, but the impact on the environment is it's just dismissed because the environment and economics are so polar opposites in the discussion, unfortunately, and they need to be much closer together. And then the second one that failed was the packaging laws, or they didn't even, I could be speaking wrong, it may not have failed, I don't know that it even got out of committee.
No, it passed the Senate.
It passed the Senate. Yeah. So, but my point is exactly what you were saying, Tracy, is the DEC wrote this report, and much of their report hinges on future legislation that they're recommending occur that could be decades away from occurring. And meanwhile, you know, they're basing their whole premise on these things need to happen and should happen in the next session. And we look historically, they're not happening. So the same thing that's happening on the state level could theoretically happen on the county level. And while I admit I believe that this current legislature or the legislatures, not this particular one, have been getting more informed and more interested, how many different combinations of legislatures have existed in that 25 or 30 years of this contract? It's a lot of different ones, and you know, I don't think we can predict where it's going to go in the future just because we have a good sort of blip right now. But your point, we had 11 new legislators this year. If they all were one direction, that's almost the majority right there. And so I'm fearful of not giving the agency as much autonomy as we can. Obviously, if the board is still being appointed by the county, there's where the connection is. But it allows, and I think the bonding has to go away because you can't function with that kind of money. So that's just my opinion.
I think that we need to take some formal votes. We can wait till Jim is here. I want to see a vote on bonding. I want to see a vote on the timeline. I want to see a vote on the board makeup. And I want to see a vote on agency versus department. And we can write the report to where there's not unanimity. The report can identify the different perspectives.
Correct.
Including the perspective that I think former legislator Petit raised, which is like we're spending a lot of time debating things that other people are going to debate, which is fine. We can say that as well. But particularly on this bonding issue and agency versus department, I want to know where people stand.
Mark, can you say that list again?
Agents,
I'm going to put it on for the next meeting.
The bonding, the timeline, the board makeup, and the question of agency versus department. I don't know if there may be other things that people feel strongly should be on that list, but that's my list.
I just want to also point out that we've made no progress for 6 months on the Reuse Innovation Center or the Zero Waste Implementation
Program. Can I speak on that? I want to disagree strongly.
Yeah.
I think the discussion about bonding and the discussion about net service fee are directly tied to the capital and operations of what MANA is proposing. And without, in my opinion, without the agency's ability to bond or push back a net service fee, that this project will not
And I think we have, because the recommendation that I put in the report is that the legislature adopt the zero waste, the SWIP. I mean, it's
not ready to be adopted.
Right, but it's not this committee's job to do the SWIP. If we were going to do that, then we should be a 2-year committee. I'm not meaning to, you know, that level of detail is beyond our scope of what we have the time, and so, I mean, I don't disagree, But it needs to be kicked back to the legislature.
Well, it's a recommendation.
To say,
the
SWIFT
should
it.
Be adopted.
Yeah, exactly. And the same with the reuse center. I think we all agree that it should happen. The legislature then needs to do the details. I don't think this committee was formed to do all the details of these things. Yeah,
a couple things. I mean, there has been some discussion today about us, I don't know, spinning our wheels or spending too much time on certain things. I mean, I actually think that what we're spending time on is exactly, and I constantly pull up that resolution again. It's like we're charged with reviewing UCRA enabling legislation, UCRA operations, UCRA policy, and the contractual agreement. Like, that's exactly what we're talking about. It does extend to bigger issues, but it's way bigger than just the contract. It's the enabling, it's the relationship between the county, it's these things we're talking about. Another thing I'd like to ask everyone at the table, because I think we need to now prioritize what we're asking legislative council. The legal authority for bonding, I know, has come up before, but if we can make a list before end of meeting, I think we ought to be getting those questions out pretty quickly, because to the extent that legislative council conflict in relation to employee
serving
on the board, that was one. But I know there were others, so I don't know if anybody has any at the top of mind.
I've got those too. Are there others that people remember?
Can't we just search the minutes for council?
We could, if anybody's got any that they recall right now, and if not, I mean, even just starting with those two, pretty big, particularly the legal authority.
I'll get that question to council for those two, absolutely.
That would be great.
I'll be free to admit, I don't have the time right now to be researching all the minutes and stuff. So,
yeah.
Are you asking, and you want to ask about the term, like, whether the current people could legislation stay.
Thank you.
But maybe that was Mike just going back. And
I can find the example and
you
just
find the example, but I think we also should, ask that question, and not only,
the question is it an increase of the board or a creation of a new board, is really the question.
Will people be able to continue to serve?
No, I think the question is,
board, or are you keeping the board and adding?
Right. Well, how do you craft the enabling legislation to reference existing?
But can I just, the general consensus is we would like to keep the existing, and that's a question. I just want to be sure.
Yes, that's a question.
I think it's important.
Well, one or two are up at the end of this year, right?
Two. And those two would be replaced, and they could be replaced with the same people. Or new people could be appointed, and those are the legislative appointments. You know, in that chart that I made up, that was the assumption that this legislation would take effect January 1, 2025.
And existing terms would be what they are. You're saying
correct. They would continue.
Not that they would be forced.
So that's why it would be in addition. So that's why the four new members would be in addition. And what would be changing is the appointment process for future. And that's where it mirrors the example that I saw was that's what happened. They increased the number of board members. They also did change some of the requirements at the same time, which is kind of what I think we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me know. But
I'll find the example and send it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I have I have a question. I want to go back to the timeline. Just to revise this, I'm going to scratch the last line. I have a question on the second to last line, though.
So the very last line on the page?
Yeah.
Okay.
The UCRA board adopts or rejects the legislature's modifications. Maybe, do we want to give a date by the middle of September when that happens? Because right now I just don't know what that is. When do you typically meet?
When do they adopt their budget?
Yeah, they don't adopt their budget until November.
Not until later. I mean, this is what's tricky in the language, I thought we were sending kind of a draft budget, which is what they approve in mid-August. So, saying that we're going to
adopt it,
let's just get rid of
the second.
But there should be some timing where the legislature can weigh in with suggestions and
yes,
the board has an opportunity
yeah, I mean,
yes.
by they, two-thirds vote or whatever to overturn that, right, which is how it is now.
We can keep the language that's there now on the legislature's ability, but wait a minute, hold on a second. Do we want them to have that power to overturn your budget?
No,
well,
no,
then
they have the ability.
They
to
have the final power. No,
okay.
So they can make recommendations
right, okay.
for changes.
Got you. And then the
and
upper
then you
board.
Have the upper board has two-thirds ability
to overturn.
The
so the upper you board, you guys have to file your budget to Paris in October 1st. I mean, November 1st.
November 1st.
So typically you adopt it at an October board meeting.
Right.
So we can just leave that out.
Okay.
We don't need to say when you need to do it because Paris is going to drive that for you.
But
so
we maintain the two-thirds override of a legislative.
We'll maintain the two-thirds override required to overturn the legislature's recommendations of the board. I mean, I think if the board is set on a pathway,
and that would
be
six out of the nine members. At
yeah.
that point.
So, Manna, we're scratching these last two lines here of this timeline.
Okay.
And I, what I'll do now is I'm going to take this proposed schedule. I'm going to merge it into the top schedule
mm-hmm.
for the dates that are set in state law.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What we're doing is we're taking the contract dates that are in the top schedule and we're changing them.
Yep.
And I'll come back to you guys with a revise.
Yeah, great.
And I'm just wondering, too, you know, again, about how this dovetails into the budget department's preparation of the budget and, you know, what the more kind of formal feedback will be for the executive. As part of
but
that.
This is actually, I get that the budget director is going to say this doesn't work, but in some ways this is better than what the budget director
has now.
Getting,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like the budget director now
could
is
have
getting
a net service surprise.
Is actually
right.
now getting
yeah,
a
yeah, and I think that's
an
you know, traditionally how the flow control was sold was that it eliminates the net service fee surprise.
No, that is not how flow control was sold.
Yeah.
Sold. Flow control was sold. And Manna will remember. I mean, it was sold to the reluctant among us that it was a piece of a whole picture that the whole system was going to be addressed, but that it would, in the immediate, be the end of the net service fee. Not that it had anything to do with a surprise. It was that. That flow control would make up for the net service fee by being able to raise the tipping
yeah.
fees. That was it.
And that
it wasn't a permanent.
Reminded me of another one to add to our list: flow control of hauler recyclables for us to vote on as a
oh,
body.
Yeah.
yeah,
not of hauler recyclables. Flow control of regulated.
Regulated
yeah.
recyclables. Yeah, sorry.
So right now, the agency, if they run a deficit, could absolutely bill the county millions of dollars
mm-hmm.
at one of the two junctures throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that would not be in the current year's budget. And it would be a surprise to the budget director.
Right.
Yeah.
And everybody else involved.
Yeah.
This is an improvement to the budget.
Can
the budget
I
director.
Clarify, though, like what we're looking... So, August 1st, again, is a estimate of our net service fee to help you all put it in the next year's budget.
Right.
But at the same time, we're not fundamentally shifting what a net service fee is, I don't believe, and it will still be what is the deficit for the current year. So the idea of us coming in August is that we believe by the end of, let's use these years, for example, if we had to do it in 2024, we're looking at all of our tonnages and everything, and we're like, we are going to have a gap this year because we have to pay this year's bills.
Right.
So in the current system, September 1st, we come to you, we calculate it, we come to you all with a bill. I'm thinking here, we are doing similar, but saying we are going to come to you with a bill by the end of the year. You should put it in next year's budget to help cover that because we're essentially invoicing you. Is
can
that
I,
not?
Can I just follow up on that and say, it really would be better to have your books closed because then you really know what the bill is. But yes.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. I just I want
yeah,
to sort of try to wrap up because we're come running time here. So
I think, you know, as we look at the end of your bond payments, I think this is where and I'm realizing does the budget come in also with your proposed tipping fee for the coming year?
What I don't want to see is that the tipping fee drops the $12 a ton for the debt service, and then that comes, you know,
as a net service
right.
fee. Yeah, that wouldn't make sense.
Should
but
the
that's
estimate
why it's got to be a look back and not a.
Right. But should the estimate be the proposed net service fee or the estimated net service fee and also the estimated tipping fee at the same
well,
time?
Well, no, we're doing that. I mean, we're not even getting that to our board. I mean, so the timing wouldn't work.
Yeah,
okay.
You wouldn't have that.
But, you know, just in your CAFR, you have this nice graphic of the tipping fee of $110 a ton. What's transport, disposal, personnel, debt service, operating reserve, transfer, which is basically capital reserve, you know, that you're... So that's $16 that, you know, a ton. So over $1.5 million.
$1.8 million is,
you know,
what our debt service has been.
Of your budget that's now, you know...
Freeing up. For maybe a year. I mean, there's a lot that needs to happen. Like, we've all, I've
Super
heard you all talk about, like, upgrades and different things.
Right.
Or
where's
preparing,
the
like, for
but
landfill.
That's
like,
just what I'm...
So, yes, in the 20, and when I said let's use this year, like, I don't anticipate coming with a net service fee. But, like, so maybe the 2025, what you're saying is right. But, like, there will probably be future plans to have future bond payments down the road. So.
Right, but yes, but some of that, if the tipping fee were to remain somewhat level, you would have more of a transfer, right, to your reserve, but you can't run up your reserve too much.
I'm also
right?
hearing a 30% increase on, I mean, I'm getting ready to
right.
go out to bid on disposal, so
right.
like some of that is...
But what's your reserve right now? It is...
Well, we don't have a technical reserve. I mean, I think we have like $2 million in something, but at the end of the day, there was like a... I got to look it back up.
Okay. But
But their reserve is in a capital improvement reserve kind of thing. It's not just an operation. It's not a fund balance.
We do not have a fund balance.
No.
We're not allowed.
It's an operating reserve, and it's kind of kept
right.
at a certain
right.
percentage, but,
like,
you know...
Less than 2 months.
So, given the time here, there's two other things real quick that I just need to mention. So, are we sort of to a stopping point at this discussion, or is
yeah.
there more? Okay. So, two things. One is I emailed everybody, and I know I said I have it at Monday, and it didn't go out till last night. It's a very, very rough draft of a report. There's a lot of holes. There's still places, and it's in italics, which was the original bullet point. Points that I took out of the minutes, they're there just to spur, do we need to include this in our report or not in text version. They're not part of the report. I just want to be clear on that. Take a look at where you can. There's some sections that are left completely open. There's a set of beginnings of recommendations. I threw a cover sheet on it I took a Word cover sheet and threw it there. The picture can be changed to whatever. It's just I'm trying to sort of hone it down into a document. Next meeting we had scheduled at my request at later in the day for Thursday, next Thursday, 3 o'clock here. There's a problem in that the planning department has a meeting in here at 3 o'clock, which I should have looked at my calendar. I'm also scheduled to be in. So Lizette has said that we can meet in the...
he confirmed 1 o'clock. It's fine here.
For
the UCRA for next Thursday.
Right, but I need to make sure that we can...
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, what I'm saying is, if we keep it at 3 o'clock, that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm trying to say.
Okay, sorry.
We're going to meet in the legislative chambers. The planning department is meeting here. My conflict is I can't be in both meetings at the same time. Mm-hmm. And the one for the planning department is about that Modena warehouse and the... planning director really wants me as the chair of the planning board to be in that meeting. So what I'm asking is if we can move our meeting to 1 o'clock on Thursday instead of 3 on the 20th. And my apologies, I should have looked at my calendar and I didn't. I don't normally have a meeting on Thursday afternoons and I forgot about it.
That day is a climate summit in Newburgh, and I was going to sneak out to get here.
So do we want to find a different day?
I can't.
do we want to go to the 21st instead? I mean, I know the 19th is a holiday.
Can we make it later instead of early? Earlier?
Later.
At 5
o'clock?
We have fleet review at 5.
This room is at 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could make it.
I have plans at 6, so
yeah.
That's a hard stop for me, but 5:45
yeah.
at the latest.
What time is the planning
board? I mean, you guys are welcome to meet without me. The planning board meeting is at 3. That's the issue.
I'll be on Zoom.
Tracy's not going to be here.
I mean, I'll be here, but I'll be on the screen.
I won't be here either way, but I think Jim will be, because I'm going to be at the same spot Mana is, but not leaving early. So.
And the 21st was out?
It's not for me. I can do it on the 21st. It was out for Jim, I think, if I remember right.
Can't do the AM.
I could do 21st in the afternoon.
Same.
3 o'clock on the 21st?
We'll have to see.
3 o'clock? 2?
2?
Yeah.
2:30?
I have the Hudson Valley Fire Women's Association parade. And
okay. My problem, March, is in the middle of the day. Now with my day job, it's really a problem.
Yeah.
So I either need to try to
do it. 5, 6?
I can't do Friday night. I don't really want to do Friday night.
Well, I'm going
to
be, I won't be available.
Yeah.
I'm dressing up as a jellyfish.
Oh.
No.
Got it.
I literally dressed
we're all
as
going
a jellyfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I was thinking the same thing.
The Firefighters Association has a weekend conference and parade, but they have like a Friday night silly parade, and my ladies auxiliary is doing a flu.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
That's fabulous.
Take
pictures.
Who's peanut butter?
What have we decided?
We haven't. We haven't.
Three. I mean, I can do 3.
If you want.
Friday. Yeah, I can do 3
on
Friday.
Can we do 3 on Friday?
Yeah, 3 on Friday.
Yeah, no, just
have to check if it's
a good
money. Maybe I'll come dressed as a jellyfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, pending Liz checking, and if there's a problem, we'll have it. So, we're going to move it from Thursday the 20th at 3 to Friday the 21st at 3.
I'm a little challenged on Friday, but I don't want you, since it's what you best landed on, I will do my very best to get there, but I definitely will want it.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. I, like I said, I should have looked at my calendar, but it's...
And we still have another meeting.
We still have a meeting after that on... Do you have the other date?
Yep.
You did Wednesday, the 26th.
We did Wednesday, the 26th.
At 9, right?
At 9.
Because we have some things to vote on when Jim is here.
Yes.
And I also think maybe, you know, these things, we're still discussing them. I'm not asking you to vote next time. I'm asking really just at a time that we're all here.
Right.
And even to have a discussion point. I mean, it may be that we all feel very firmly in our opinion. I think it would be good to get a sense of where everyone is. But it also may be that we can reach consensus through further conversation. I never give up hope on that, including my own. I've certainly changed my mind.
Right. And we... As Marge said, we don't have to all agree on every point that we put in. We can say that this was, you know, the majority of the committee felt this, but other members of the committee believe this, and put that in our report to the legislature. And at the end of the day, the legislature is going to do what they do or not do with our report or pieces of it. And it is a recommendation. I mean, we don't have the ability to enact anything, so we just want to give them our best recommendations that we believe as 7 people here.
I do think that unanimous consent on issues is going to have incredible weight, which is why I think it will be very... I'm going to keep a very open mind, even having stated my firm opinion on things, because I think... Whatever we send with unanimous consent is going to be much harder to pick apart, much harder I guess that's simply put. I think where we can find unanimous consent, we are going to be strongest served in terms of getting our message across.
I agree, and I will stress to the legislature how much time and thought from knowledgeable people went into this.
Yeah.
And
I mean, by the time we
can
done,
come to consensus.
Yeah,
we will have met probably for approximately 40 hours of meetings or more. That's a sizable amount of time, and then time spent outside and all the time spent of learning our knowledge to get to this table to start with. I mean, it's hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of knowledge. So, probably is thousands. So, anybody else have anything else to bring up? If not, I'll ask
just
for
two quick things. One is for the next meeting, we'll know what we have agreed and have consensus on, and what's still. We need to see if we can get to consensus.
Yeah. Well, I've been writing the report based on the conversation, and I agree. At some point, we have to, these points that we may not all agree on, we need to just sort of vote what we're going to put in the report. And as Comptroller Gallagher said, we can say that not all members were in agreement. Other members felt this. And you know, do a point counterpoint type of thing, so the legislature hears.
I just want to be as clear as we can be on what we have, and.
But we're not voting next meeting, right? Correct.
No, not necessarily to vote, but to also hear Jim's input.
Yep. Well, hopefully he will be able to be here next meeting. I mean, we I know he said he had some challenges. So.
I'm not sure Friday was one.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
He couldn't make Friday.
Yeah, I think that too. But, well, then, we do have that. Otherwise, next week almost looks like then we just don't have a meeting. But I think that's not productive either, given the time crunch.
Was there a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, anything that worked for everybody?
Well, Wednesday is Juneteenth.
Oh,
so
Wednesday
the county office building is
so
closed.
Monday or Tuesday?
Monday or Tuesday, that's 3-4 days from now. I don't know. Tuesday is not possible for me. So the only day I could do it would be Monday.
I could do Monday, and I also just want to say, like, given that there are sections of the report that still need writing, do we want to sort of have a list of those on hard copy at our next meeting and sort of have people take on sections?
If you look at the draft, you'll see the places
yeah.
where the holes are. I mean, the things like the contents, that's just going to be a page one is this. I mean, that's administrative.
Right. We have it in
yeah.
email,
yeah.
but what we don't have is people at this table saying they're going to write a paragraph on
okay.
something. So it's not actually supporting you in getting the report.
I still need... The one, we have the economic section, we have the diversion section, we have the disposal section, the one section that is not written. And the executive summary, obviously, I think we can't write till all the other ones are
yeah.
done. So the one piece that's missing is the intergovernmental agency section, which is kind of touched on by many of the other topics, and maybe we don't even need that section anymore. I don't know. I think we do.
Isn't that the contract?
That's the contract.
That the board makeup?
Yeah, but March... really took on the contract in economics. I guess maybe the question is economics and intergovernmental agency, are they one in the same?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think we want to speak to Albany too in that section.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
so
the
that's the
on
one section that there is not a brief discussion of. And I don't know if somebody feels comfortable taking that on and writing something for it. I don't necessarily feel comfortable because the intergovernmental agency, to me, is the net service fee. But all the things I can think of are economics. It's the contract. It's the
I feel
it is the board makeup. Maybe that.
Isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's intergovernmental because it's between the legislature and the agency. It's the enabling
state,
law.
It's between the state.
Right, but that's intergovernmental agency. It's the county and the state and the county and
yes.
the agency. I mean, I could write a section on the board based on our discussion, but I don't know what else goes in that section of the report.
Well, the whole contract is intergovernmental. And
yeah, but that's...
And the question of the future of the agency is intergovernmental.
Right. And that one...
Neither of those are strictly financial.
Understood. And then March, were we going to, and I've lost track, were we going to do a redline version of the current contract with specific recommendations as an appendices or not? I don't remember.
I don't think that's
it's
I don't think it's necessary. I think it's very challenging to do. I think one thing that could happen if people want it is the contract. We could attach the contract, and we could sort of highlight those sections that we're talking about changing.
Okay.
But, you know, it's because of the format of the contract being a 1992 document that's not digital, it's very challenging to redline it without retyping the whole thing, and I do not have the capacity.
So back to what started, prompted this discussion, do we want to meet Monday instead of Friday, which is where this started from.
Depending on when on Monday, because there's another meeting here at 4:30.
There's another meeting here at 4:30.
Aren't there machines that can do that?
And I'm trying
I'm
to find out if this
to provide a red
could
line
we meet
of the
in chambers at 4:30?
To this committee.
And
so,
yeah. County contracts are
there's a meeting in the chambers at 6.
Yeah, it's too hard.
I think
another
that if we provide the recommendations
on Monday
between
trails
the agency,
then we can't do that.
No, at 6.
Oh,
I'm talking about us meeting at
4:30.
That those can be.
No, the 17th. We're talking the 17th.
He said anytime.
There's a way
way
to get
before
it
that meeting that comes in at 4:30 is available.
It, like March was suggesting.
So
like
depending
the
on
PDF,
when you're going.
Putting it in the appendix.
Three.
Highlighting a paragraph.
We're
going to
have
a red box
at,
on it.
Right.
See
saying,
this section
here.
Just so you're being very explicit about like this section is problematic.
Have a boss
look at this
fire
discussion.
Me if I keep
this section is, you know, just really.
So can we circle back to the meeting, because that's a more urgent priority, because if we're going to meet on next Monday. Yeah, 3 days, 4 days from now. We
do you
need
want
to
me to text Jim real quick? And
sure, sure. If he,
we would have been fine for the 21st on that Friday at 3,
yeah.
But just, only if.
Yeah, we just don't know. See if Jim can make the 21st at 3. If Jim can make the 21st
then
at 3, then I think we're fine and we leave it alone.
Yeah, I got confirmation on that.
Yeah. Because the only other alternative is to meet on the 17th, Monday the 17th. Which is 3 days from now, 4 days from now.
I will be in transit on Monday the 17th. My flight is at 7, so I'll probably be. I mean, I couldn't meet before 10 would be a stretch, but
I would prefer we did it in the afternoon, like 4:30.
Okay,
what day of the week
do
is
we can't do 4:30.
Friday.
Mm-hmm. There's a meeting here at 4:30.
4:30 here.
Yeah, but you said we could meet in the legislative
Monday.
Chambers.
Yeah, Monday. There's nothing
and
going
tell
on.
Tell me the time again.
3 p.m.
3.
Yeah.
It's not a conflict for me because I don't attend.
So not Friday.
Three
no, we don't know yet, Laura. We're still Friday because.
What do you have a time proposed for Monday? Are we talking Monday? What are we talking
I would prefer like.
Who's on first?
So between 3 and 4 p.m. start time would be my preference. There's a meeting in here at 4:30.
At 4:30 that I'm going to be in.
So. But we can always meet in chambers.
Just a different pile.
Yeah.
So
I have to check. I have to confirm.
There is a 6 o'clock meeting in chambers. I know because
I have a conference table and I can annoy my auditors and put us there if we need to.
Understood. But I don't want to move it to Monday. If Friday right now works for everybody, we just don't know if it works for Jim.
Which it's kind of it's good.
While we're waiting a minute for give Jim a minute to answer.
Understood.
If he's not being carted off by the police or something.
That's Wednesday.
I just wanted to ask if there was an update on enforcement at all, Mark. Sorry.
Just we're in the interview process. It was going to take. I have them set up throughout June. I think we're interviewing 7 or 8 people.
Oh, great. That's a good response. How big was the total response if you're interviewing 7 or 8? Did you get a lot of that?
25, 30.
Nice.
But some of this stuff is
obviously a number
of Indeed, and like you get, the attorneys, I got software developers like 5 or 6 for a position that said it had to have a law license. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. You get people who just fill out Indeed applications because that's what they do.
I'm not seeing anything back, so.
Why don't we leave it for the Friday at 3 right now?
Yeah.
I will try to reach out to Jim by phone. I think I have his phone number either tonight or tomorrow and say, can you? And then if we have to move it to Monday.
Can you meet next Friday? What time is it at?
3 p.m.
At 3 p.m. Yes, Jim can do it.
Great.
Good. Thank you.
All right, so we're good.
So we're good. So next meeting will not be Thursday. It'll be Friday the 21st, 3 p.m. here.
And I'll send my address to you, Liz.
Yeah.
For
I'm going to let you and Liz and Vicky
figure that
out.
I'll talk to you behind
that
because Vicky has said that there's no Zoom for this meeting, so I don't know.
But we there can be Zoom.
There can be Zoom.
I'm going to
I asked, and I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, we set up our own personal.
I would have put this in the notes. I'm going to go through the state solid waste management plan and pull out things we want to highlight.
That's exactly what I've been in the process of. Yeah, I've been looking at the state, and I've also been looking at the county one and pulling out things. If you want to send me any particular ones, that's exactly what I've been doing. Yeah, so.
Is that in the document?
It's not yet.
Okay, then I'm not going to do it unless I can see what you're doing, though. So. You know what I mean?
Go ahead and do it, because I'm not going to get much time until later, until next week to do it. So you're going to be doing the same work that I'm doing, so if you want to do it, that's great.
If you've already started, though, can
I? I've started looking at it,
okay.
But all I've done is look at it and said, oh, that's something. There's no, I haven't grabbed anything yet. I've just looked through it, and I've read the whole thing cover to cover, and I've picked out pieces in my head that should be included. But that's the extent of what I've done.
Okay.
So, if you have time to take it to the next step, even if you just cut and paste them onto a Word document and send me the Word document, great. So, okay, I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
And just a reminder to sign all the minutes and if that can get passed down so I can sign them.
You don't need to send a OneDrive, right? This is just her revised.
Yeah, March, you're gonna tweak this and you'll email that.
I will.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
You marked it, Laura. You marked yours, the May 17th one.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I just.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out
where.
And
I'll look through the journal.
I mean, obviously, some minority.
The other, the last one.
Oh, yeah, Michael did that one. It's very short.
Yeah, I never got a chance to look at it.
Okay.
So. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
No problem. Like, we could all be on a shared.
I hear you.
And I'm going to update this.